Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Blow It Out on Main Studio, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, show number 40. We reached 40, Crum. Recorded December 21st, 2020. Thanks to partners Pin Oak Agency, Next Level Fitness, Blow It Out on Main, and Handsome Harry's and the O-Bar Cafe. We are talking all things sports in the Metro East. I'm Dave Leip alongside
Jim Cromer here, and just want to send a special shout out to the gang over at Blow It Out on Main who take care of our studios here. It's Edwardsville's first blowout bar and hairstyling salon. It can help you achieve the most perfect look for any occasion, big or small. Staff is dedicated to serving you and offering a variety of trendy styles that'll make you look and feel fabulous. A special shout out to them, my wife and her cohorts in crime, Linda Patterson and Mel Westcott, have their little clothing boutique, women's boutique online, Piper and Hollow, and they had an event at Blow It Out on Main on a Saturday. It was an awesome event. Tons of ladies showed up to support the local businesses.
Sweet.
So they do a great job. And, of course, Hannah Brown over there at Handsome Harry's. Give her a call, 618-581-3561 for some of the best conversation you can have while getting a great haircut. And, of course, our friends at Blow It Out on Main, give them a call, 307-9999. Party packages available. Hey,
and we get our haircut there.
Well, we do, and
we both do.
Fabulous. That's why all our guests would say we look fabulous.
That's why we look so awesome.
Hey, gonna throw this out to you. I know you brought it up today. We want to mention at the start of the show today. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the Kevin Green family as we lost a local icon today. Local boy done good story. Just an amazing story.
So about an hour ago, this came out on NFL.com that Mr. Kevin Green, Granite City High
sack
School,
master,
NFL Hall of Famer, has passed. And that's all we know at this point.
Right.
So by the time people probably hear this show, a lot more will be made. A lot more will be made public regarding the details. Right now, no details have been released. And all we know is that Kevin Green is dead. And that's sad.
I grew up down in Madison, a lifelong friend of mine, Dave Gushloff, and the Gushloff family, and Ronnie Gushloff, Dave's older brother, and Kevin were best friends. And I'll never forget one summer I come out of my house and I'm walking down to Dave's. It's real early in the morning, and here's this, I had not yet met Kevin, and I walk down there and there's a brand new 300ZX, and this guy is wiping it down real good, like he's waxing it up. And I walk behind him, kind of looking at him. He's got his shirt off. I'm like, this guy doesn't belong here.
What year is this?
Oh, gosh.
So is this Kevin Green when he's...
This is 87, 88, probably 89.
So he's in college.
It was probably more like 90.
Okay.
I was playing ball with Gooder at the time, so it was after college. So he was in the NFL, and he had this is early on, and his license plate said... S-O-O-O-B-A-D, so bad. I'll never forget that. And then Ronnie come out and introduced me to him, and then obviously the rest is all history, as they say. Pretty amazing player.
A great player, a Hall of Famer, and by all accounts, a likable dude. Everybody who I've ever talked to who knows him or who knew him lauded him as a human. So
yeah, it was a
big loss.
Big
sorry to his family.
Yeah, it's an absolute shame to lose anybody young, or lose anybody at any time. But yes, we talk about doing some of the legend type shows. He would have been a great guest.
Yeah,
I
think we may even need to do a show just remembering him.
Yeah,
get some people in here who remember him who could tell some stories.
I have a couple people that I'm pretty tight with that were about, like Robert Vertos and Steve McKinney and Ronnie Gushloff, and those guys down that way are all pretty tight with him. Danny Patterson tells a story all the time when he was the quarterback at North about Kevin intercepting him and running it back and dunking over the goalpost on him. It's a pretty good story, but yeah, good stuff.
Three things you can do to help our podcast. Number one, you can subscribe. You know how to do that. You're listening to a podcast. Subscribing is easy. Number two, you can follow us. Please follow us in our social media efforts. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. And guess what? Now, as of last week, we are on Instagram. Finally, if you have a story idea, please email me at mespdave@gmail.com. Show number 40 is a big one, Chrome.
40. Sooner or later, we'll catch my age.
Guest number three is Matt Hackman, Mespy winner, O'Fallon Mespy. Boys Golf Team of the Year, 3A Team of the Year. Matt Hackman is the boys coach. He's going to be in here. Guest number two is Jocelyn Carmody, Triad's number one female tennis player, coached by her dad and also Devin Falkenberg, who was in here last week. Team of the Year, 1A. Guest number one is the best runner. Are you the best cross-country runner in the history of West Glen High School? Welcome to the show, Justin Mumford. Has there ever been a better cross-country runner than you at West Glen High School?
My coach says there hasn't been, but...
So your coach tells you you're the best in the history of the school.
Right, yeah.
I believe that.
That's pretty cool. That's got to make you... So you got that going for you.
Yeah.
Justin Mumford, 1A, Mespy winner, runner of the year, regional champ, sectional champ, right?
Yeah.
And then you had a
Keep going.
And then you had a great race at Shazam the week after, right? Let's talk about your season this year first while Chrome and I try to get your microphone.
I mean, this is
the Metro Esports
podcast. It's a labor of love.
One of the things that we are known for are microphone troubles. So we're going to just adjust this here like this.
To tell you, it is a labor of love, as they say.
There you go. How about that? All right. Now, have at it. Just don't touch anything, otherwise everything's going to explode. No. You had a great year.
Yeah, I did have a great year.
Sectional champ and regional champ. Sectional is a big deal. Sectional is tough. A lot of schools there.
Yeah.
Right?
Almost all of Southern Illinois for 1A, yeah.
Right. And you won both by a pretty big margin.
Yeah.
What's the secret to your success?
A lot of hard work. I was running 70, 75. I hit 80 miles a week once, and I would just go out and run as hard as I could for every race that this year.
And when did you start in the sport of cross country or distance running?
Sixth grade year.
And didn't you tell me that you got cut from baseball or something?
Yeah, so I played baseball for a few years before sixth grade. I tried out for the middle school team. I didn't make it. So then my friend was like, hey, why don't you try out for the cross country team? So then I tried out and I was on the team, and then after the first year, I was the best guy on the team already for middle school.
Wow.
What a great message, though. This is going to be about the second guest we've had in 2 weeks that had an amazing opportunity and an amazing, so far, career. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, you're obviously not done, but, you know, we had Coach Thomas on, you know. So another sport that they liked wasn't for them, kind of like not for you. And you go out and you say, you know, you really could, testament to you, you could have moaned and whined about it and made excuses and gave up. But no, you went out and found something else that you really loved. So, I mean, I just think, you know, we have to remember that. And I'm sure if you had a message for these kids out there that certain things don't work out for them, you know, you're a great example of what can happen.
Yep.
Because the other thing is, what if you stick with baseball? What if the coach feels sorry for you? He's like, you know what, this Mumford kid, he hustles all the time. I'm going to keep him on and I'm going to get him 110 at-bats this entire year. You know, maybe you would have plodded along in baseball and maybe you would have been decent, but you wouldn't have been the baseball player. I mean, you wouldn't have been nearly the level that you are now as a runner.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic that it worked out for you. Okay, so let's talk about the post-races, post-season, because you were the dominant 1A runner. You had a good rivalry with Guthrie at Father McGivney, but he never beat you this year, right?
Nope, I beat him 4 times, I think.
Because he's strong.
Yeah.
He gets, and he got a lot of press this year, and he deserved it. But I think a lot of people may not realize that the kid from West Glen actually was a little bit faster this year. Okay, so tell me about your races after the regional and after the sectional this year.
So after sectionals, since there was no IHSA state, there was Shazam state, and that was split up between 1A, 2A, 3A, each a different day. So the 1A race was on Friday, and I knew coming in that Drew Rogers from Hersher up north was the top seed, and that was also going to be a big pack with them. And my teammate was actually up there with me, so that was cool. And we were both in the fast heat. And
okay, so they divided this up into heats.
Right.
How many kids per heat?
I think it was capped at 50 kids per heat.
Okay. So how many kids would normally be in the 1A boys cross country race? 200?
Yeah.
About okay, 200. So they broke it up into quarters, basically.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay. So then what happens?
So last race today, we went out. I was leading for about a mile and a quarter because we went out pretty slow. And then Drew Rogers took over after that and kind of put some distance on us in the woods. And then it was me and Miles Shepherd from up north, and then I outkicked him at the end and ended up getting second.
Second in the Shazam race.
Yeah.
Did that feel like you got second at state?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Was the atmosphere similar to you?
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I think some of the things that have went on to give you guys, and when I say you guys, I mean athletes, or any high school student, I don't care what they're doing, but the opportunity to do something similar to what a normal postseason would be has been a great thing. So for you to be able to go do that, I mean, I think it's amazing. You know, so you were a baseball player and then you switched to this. Is it cross country and track?
Yeah.
It is. So is there anything else? Are we doing anything else like for fun, or is it pretty much run?
I'm also in the band.
Okay.
I like to go cycling and mountain biking and hiking, stuff like that too.
So you are probably in peak physical condition, much like Dave and myself.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, thanks for that.
I mean, that's how we do it, right? Isn't that how we do it? What do you say? 70, 80 miles a week?
70, 80
plus miles. Plus biking?
I don't drive that many.
I was going to say, I might drive 80 miles a week.
Are you a swimmer? Can you swim?
Not well, but I do swim occasionally, yeah.
I think that kids like you who can do the distance running, I always think there's a triathlon in your future.
Yeah, someday. I just got to get the hang of swimming, then I'll be able to do it.
Have you thought anything? Like some of these amazing endurance feats that these people do when it comes to the running and the swimming and the biking and all this kind of stuff. Have you thought about any of that? Like, man, someday I think I want to do something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Especially this last Saturday, I ran 17 miles and I was like, man, maybe I can do a marathon someday or something longer.
I mean, don't you think you probably could?
Yeah.
I mean, if you really I don't know, man, like that whole run, like the whole thing to me is amazing. Like just imagining like one day you could just say, you know what? I think I'm just going to go run 32 miles. I'm just going to go do it.
Were you planning on running 17 miles?
Yeah, was that a plan? Or
I was planning on doing 14 or so, and then I felt really good, and so I just kept going.
Hey, I was going to run 14. I felt really good, so I just kept going.
How much of your training is by yourself?
Most of it, but I do run occasionally with some alumni and my teammate, Gavin.
I think it takes a special kid to train by himself mostly. Do you feel like it's been extra hard for you? Because I feel like there aren't that many kids on your team that can push you. Is that an extra challenge for you, you think?
Yeah, I think so, because some workouts are tough just to keep going, but my coach pushes me when I'm on my own, and yeah.
You do what you do.
Yeah.
So how do we do this? Okay, so it's funny. When a golfer comes in, I always say, well, what's in your bag? You know, because like they do in the magazine, like, you know, they say, oh, I'm hitting this or I'm doing this. So I guess for a runner, especially with these long distances, I'm assuming you got the AirPod going? AirPods?
You listening to music?
No music?
No music.
No.
No way. You're telling me you ran 17 miles in just pure silence?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Did you solve the meaning of life in the 17 hours?
I mean, you get used to it after a while, because I've never ran with music.
What do you think about?
Just all kinds of stuff. Life, school, anything.
Oh, my Lord. Dang.
Now, let's get this straight, too. This is a smart kid.
Yeah.
Tell us your class rank.
I think I'm 2 out of 87.
So you're doing homework in your head, studying for tests, all that good stuff?
He's a big-time academic kid.
I was going
to
say.
And you want to study engineering, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you told me? What kind of engineering?
Civil engineering.
Okay. And you want to continue your career. You're leaning toward continuing your career.
Yeah.
But you're focused on the academics.
Yeah.
First. So what are these schools at which you are looking, at which you might run?
Cornell, Stanford, Purdue, U of I, Princeton.
Missouri, S&T?
No.
Not interested in that at all.
You know, your standard run-of-the-mill Ivy League type school.
So he's looking at, you know, Justin, you're looking at huge schools. So I think that would be awesome if you could go. Now, there was a cross-country runner from Edwardsville who ran at Stanford, Garrett Sweat.
Yeah.
Did you reach out to him? Do you know him?
I haven't reached out to him, but I saw him on Strava.
Do you have the times to make that squad? Because in cross-country, all you got to do is get on your computer and look up what these kids are running, and then you'll know if you fit in. Are you in the ballpark with those times?
I'm a little slower than their guys. I've talked to their coach a little bit, and he told me to contact him if I got in, and he gave me his walk-on standards for track.
Okay. And what is the walk-on standard?
It's 9:07 for 2 miles and 4:10 for a mile.
Where are you for two?
It's hard to say since we didn't have the track season last year, but I'm definitely a lot better after this cross year, so I'm hoping to run around 9 minutes flat this year.
How can you improve? Is it diet? Is it rest? It can't be number of miles. Is it intensity of your workouts? How can you get better? How can you improve?
I think I just got to be patient, keep putting the work in, do all the little things, and then the success will come.
All the little things. What does that mean? What are those little things?
8 hours of sleep, rolling out, stretching, lifting, doing all the dumb lifts that I don't want to do, like ankle band stuff and things like that.
The stuff you don't want to do. That's always interesting. So I got a question to follow up on my no iPod thing. So they like the...
I'm
amazed by this. Now, I will say something I find interesting is around town here, every blue moon, you will see... You can tell they're the runners, right? You'll see this pack of guys or gals running together. And they're young, so you know they're the cross-country team or whatever. And what I do find amazing is every time I see them, they're all like smiling and laughing, almost talking. That almost seems impossible to me. So like if you're running with someone or a pack, I mean, do you guys cut up a little bit? Or
yeah, we talk.
You do?
Time,
oh,
yeah.
My. I can't, see, it's just amazing to me. Like... I would fall out like a stress test. You know, they say, you know, you're in trouble if you can't talk while you're doing the stress test.
I'd say if you can talk, you're not running hard enough.
Yeah. I mean,
you better get focused.
Actually at Shazam, the Drew Rodgers, I talked with him a little bit during the race.
Hey man, are you a Sagittarius? I'm an Aquarius like that.
He was like, hey brother, good luck. I was like, hey, you too. And
that's nice.
Yeah.
And is he a senior?
He's a junior.
Okay, cool. And then he proceeded to win the state title.
Yeah.
Good for him. I like it when the nice guys win. I think we all do. Okay, but then you ran a national race in November. You said November 21st?
Yeah.
Where was this?
That was in Huntsville, Alabama.
And? How'd it go?
Really good. I got 27th place, which is better than I thought I was going to get. And I ran 14:56 for 5K.
Okay.
Which is a lifetime best for me.
Awesome. Oh.
Cool. I don't know, man.
With no music.
No music. Why no music?
I don't know. I don't like to carry my phone with me because...
Well, you can get an Apple Watch and the iPad. Like, am I missing something?
I've never ran with music since... Why start now?
That's amazing to me.
Yeah, so what's what he's doing? It's probably safer. It's probably safer not to... You know, then you'll hear a car potentially or something like that or a dog running up.
I wouldn't run out of things to talk with myself about.
Has a dog ever chased you?
Yeah.
Oh, I believe that.
What do you do? Climb a tree?
No, you just kind of like, you keep running, but you like slow down because you don't know if the dog is mean or nice. So you just pray.
Where are you running in West Glen? Are you running on trails? Are you running in neighborhoods?
I like to run on grass a lot. So I run around campus and I run in the park in my town. And then I also run out in the country sometimes. I do all my long runs here in Edwardsville.
Really?
Yeah.
On the trails?
Yeah.
Okay. We had Kristen S. last week on the show from Breeze Central, our 1A female runner. She loves to run on a treadmill. I was shocked by that. How about you? Are you a treadmill guy?
I hate running on treadmills. Nothing worse than running on treadmills for me.
And she's like, I put on my Netflix and I'm gone. I just boom, put in my miles. And she runs before school too. So how about you? Are you doing any before school workouts, or are you just practicing after school with the team?
Yeah, I run before school and then after school, too.
Twice a day, Chrome. Any injuries?
He can't do a lot of miles
on your body. Any like wear and tear on your knees, ankles, hips?
This year, I was fortunate. I didn't have anything big. I sprained my ankle once. I only had to take like a day off for that. But previous years, I dealt with a lot of injuries, so I was really lucky this year. I think it's because I did little things like rolling out and things.
Okay, so you run 17 miles. How hungry are you after running 17 miles?
I'm more tired. My legs hurt more than hunger, but I do enjoy a good smoothie after those runs.
A good smoothie. I mean, not a country fried steak with mashed potatoes and gravy.
How important is your diet? How much focus do you put on your diet?
Maybe not as much as I should, but I do... avoid unhealthy things, especially during the season. I just generally try to eat healthier.
Amazing.
That's cool. Justin Mumford, 1A MESPY winner, boys cross country runner of the year, a kid who's got his head on straight. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. I hope you go to one of these fancy schools and hope you run.
I hope they give you an iPod with some AirPods and you start listening to some music. I'm just kidding.
I'm glad you're focused on your thoughts. I think it sounds very therapeutic.
I was going to say, man, like you may wind up being like a psychiatrist or something someday.
He's going to be an engineer, man.
I know, but I mean, he's going to have the whole problems of the world solved with all this time he has.
All right, we're going to head out to the parking lot, and you're going to race Chrome. Thanks for coming by, Justin.
Thank you.
We are proud to continue to partner with Pin Oak Agency, located in Maryville. Pin Oak Agency Insurance and Risk Management will work with you to find just the right insurance for your car, home, health, business, or farm. A lifelong resident of the Metro East, Andy Calloway is here to help your family safeguard against the unexpected and plan for the future. Give Pin Oak Agency a call today at 288-9375 to set up an appointment. Andy and his staff will listen to you and help you reach your goals. Or find him on Facebook at Pin Oak Agency. Tell him we sent you. Don't forget, Andy helped me refinance my house, and he is saving me tens of thousands of dollars in the long game and hundreds of dollars every single month.
Well, that says that you got lunch.
That's awesome.
You're buying lunch.
I'll buy you lunch once every other year.
Well, I don't know why when we don't show up here on Monday nights to record this, we don't have a big spread. Make we should sure saving hundreds of dollars. Just a spread.
We need a food sponsor.
Well,
that's what we need. We need a food sponsor to say every Monday night, we're going to bring you some delicious.
Listen, the last thing we really need is a food.
You're
sponsor.
Probably right. We probably need a personal.
Now, if
trainer.
They want a sponsor, that's fine. But what we really, yes, we need a physical trainer in here.
Should we talk about food all night, or should we welcome our next guest?
We should
guest
welcome our next guest. She's welcome. Much more interesting than our food interest.
Welcome to the show from Triad High School. Their number one tennis player, Jocelyn Carmody.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Good to see you. Great year last year.
Yeah.
I saw you play when you were a freshman. I think you were number 5 or so, and you made quite a jump to playing number 1 as a sophomore. How were you able to do that?
A lot of work and training over the summer and with the help of my great coaches.
Who are your coaches?
Devin Falkenberg, Jack Carmody, Jeffrey, a.k.a. Jeff.
Good old Coach
Falk. And Taylor Stevenson.
Awesome. And Jack Carmody is your dad.
Yes, that's
right. And he's the boys coach at Triad High School. And Devin is the head girls coach. But your dad is an assistant coach on the girls team. Yes. What's it like being coached by your dad?
It was hard at first. We didn't really see eye to eye. He was used to coaching boys, and it was just kind of hard because he couldn't coach me the same way.
What has he taught you?
A lot of footwork, how to move my feet, how to hit my shots. A lot of mechanics. He focuses more on the mechanics than actually getting the shot in. He wants me to do it right first and then add power.
How about that?
Impressive. I don't know what word to use here, the mental dynamic of playing for dad. I mean, sometimes I'm sure it goes both ways. Sometimes he'd just like to be dad, and I'm sure sometimes you just like to be his daughter. But I'm sure it's just something you have to work out. Talk a little bit about that relationship.
Well, whenever I do bad in a match, he has to look at it from the coach's perspective and stuff. And he has to, like, point out what I did wrong. But overall, he's just my dad whenever we go home. And he says I did a good job and tried my best.
That probably means a lot to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, he's there. And you want to play hard for him because he's your coach. But then you also want to make him proud because he's your dad. And, you know, and I'm sure it's, you know, he wants you to, he's proud of you no matter what. So, I mean, it's a, you know, I think everybody's always trying so hard to make everybody happy that the best thing we can do sometimes is just remind people how much we enjoy it. So that's awesome, though, is that he does get to see you play all your matches. So that's pretty cool, too.
He's always there for me, always supporting. Supporting is a big thing in tennis because it's so mental to where sometimes you lose sight of that in the game.
Was it different playing number one this year?
Most definitely. It was a really big jump. And however much training you did, you really just have to focus on the mental part of it. Because sometimes you can be down 5-0, but you can end up coming back because you're mentally stronger than them.
What about doubles? Did you play any doubles this year?
Yeah, doubles was great. I had a great partner, Haley.
And you guys had a good season. I think your only losses locally were to Belleville East, which is a 2A school. So you were the strongest team 1A. and you were our team Mespy winner, and as the number one play on the strongest 1A team, you obviously had a heck of a season. And when I had Devin on the show last week, and he described the character of your team as six girls who just really hated to lose.
Yeah.
Is that a fair assessment?
It is.
But he also said the girls got along well. Is there a good bond among the girls on the team?
There was a lot better bond than there was last year. We hung out a lot more this year and got closer, and I feel like that benefited to the season more because we knew how to play with each other and stuff.
And you liked each other. It makes a big difference. I think you hear that over and over in all the sports. If the girls like each other and if the boys like each other, then it's fun. How about hitting with the guys? Do you hit with the guys' team very often?
No, I mostly just hit with my dad.
Hmm. I've always wanted to ask this question because I've heard Dave mention this. A lot of times the top players will play doubles as well. And I've often wondered, but, I mean, there's the obvious, you know, there's two people instead of one, but what are some of the differences that you find? Like, is it harder to play doubles? Is it harder to play? Like, I mean, there's probably, it goes both ways probably, but talk a little bit about the difference.
In some instances, I would want to play singles more, or in some instances, I want to play doubles more. Just because singles takes a lot out on me because it's just me, and then doubles is a lot better because I'm with someone, and I have someone that supports me and stuff with all the shots I make.
A lot of communication.
Yeah.
Probably necessary there. I just, you know, it's a different challenge, and, you know, it's like anything. When you're counting on somebody, they're counting on you. There's a lot of that stuff. I've always thought that dynamic was interesting because, you know, you're talking about a sport that can be played two different ways.
And the other thing about it is in Illinois, for your postseason, you have to pick one or the other. Coaches have to pick one or the other.
Oh, you do? I didn't know that.
So Jocelyn, in her sectional, where she was the champion, she only played singles. Now, during the year, in our conference, we play six singles and three doubles, and the kids play both. But really, by the end of the year, you have to almost specialize. And I think sometimes we do kids a disservice by making them specialize because they don't develop as tennis players. They develop either as doubles or singles specialists. So we try to really develop both aspects, the complete player, not just the singles or the doubles. But most states aren't like that. Illinois makes you do that. It's kind of unfortunate, I think.
So on that note, do you prefer doubles or singles?
I prefer doubles,
really?
In my opinion. I think I'm better at singles, but I'm way more comfortable with doubles because I'm a really strong back player, and if I have somebody that can execute the front, we're like the best duo.
Wow. Pretty cool. See, like, you don't think about those things unless you ask. See, I learn something new every day.
Hmm. How about that?
Yeah.
Conference
very
champion.
Very surprising.
And sectional champion. What are your goals for next year?
A harder serve and a harder forehand, most definitely, and putting more pace on the ball.
How do we do that? I mean, is that a simple, like, is that physical, get stronger? Or is that, like you talked about, your dad really teaches the mechanic? Like, is it a blend? I mean, how do we do that?
I honestly think it's a blend in some sorts. It's kind of mental. You have to tell yourself to hit the ball harder, but then again, you have to have the form too. And I feel like that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I see that in other sports. I mean, baseball-wise, we get kids sometimes that they can throw harder, they just don't because they're just so, oh, I don't want to make a mistake or I don't want to do this. Or sometimes you got to just let it fly, right?
That was a big part of it last year, why I wasn't hitting the ball as hard.
Now, you used to play a lot of soccer. Are you still playing any soccer?
Yeah, playing soccer, doubling up in the fall with tennis and soccer.
Okay, and then will you be on the team at Triad in the spring? It's season, assuming that you have a season?
Yes.
Okay, so you're continuing to play both sports. And we had the number one girl from Altoff, and she's also a tennis player and a soccer player. And I think those two sports can help you in some regards. Do you think your experience as a soccer player is helping you on the tennis court?
Most definitely.
And how about your tennis? Is that helping your soccer?
Yes.
You guys have a strong soccer program there at Triad. Who's the coach there?
Bailey Stack and Matt Bentlock.
Awesome.
And JJ.
You got to be tough to play girls soccer, man. Those girls aren't messing around. Like, these boys think they're tough. These girls are not messing around, man. Like, you got to be tough. Don't you agree?
Physical.
I agree with that. It's not as bad now that I've been playing up 2 years in my club team. So it's really helped me adjust to the high school.
Yeah,
format.
I that's what shocked me the most with my daughter playing soccer is, I mean, I think, you know, soccer and whatever. And I know as they get older, it gets more physical, but these girls aren't messing around, man. Like, you got to be tough. So that probably does help for other sports for sure.
I would describe some of the high school soccer games that I've been to, girls games, as chippy.
Yes.
Where I thought,
yeah,
that is a little bit over the line, some of the things. And I don't know if I've seen coaches stepping in enough saying, stop it.
Yeah.
Girls are mean, man. You guys are mean.
They are mean. They are.
Did you play varsity soccer last year?
No, I was on JV.
Is that a goal for you for this year?
Yes.
Well, I hope you have a season.
Yeah,
truly
me too.
Hope. Are you training for soccer now?
Yes.
And you're training for tennis now too?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Where are you? What are you doing for tennis right now? Are you just hitting with your dad?
Just hitting with my dad and my teammates.
Okay, cool.
Work, 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 man. That's the key. You know, a runner talking about it earlier. I mean, it's you're not going to be any good at some of this unless you're willing to work. Have you ever have days, though, that you just are like, man, I want to stay in bed, but you just, and then what? You just make yourself get out?
Yeah, it's a struggle sometimes, especially waking up early.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's only natural, but see, that's the difference. There are people that'll lay there, and then there are people that, I got to go, though. And, that, you know, I've had that conversation with my kids. I mean, I'm sure every parent has, you know, like you tell them, you think so-and-so's in bed? And I don't care. You know, but it's the truth. If you really want to be good at something, you got to be able to put in the work.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not even my fault whenever I don't train. I'm so caught up in schoolwork to where I can't get out, and I'm just swimming. So sometimes I just have to force myself to stop and go play a sport.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the schoolwork's important.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's a big key to all of this. You know, talking to the last gentleman that was on about his future. What about you and your future? Are we thinking about that yet at all? Or, where are we at with that?
Yeah. Even though I'm only a sophomore, I'm thinking of going to college, being a vet, and I'm going to try to play tennis or soccer.
Yeah. So utilize your athletic ability to help you with school. That's awesome.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
But not sure which one.
Nope.
A vet.
Yeah.
Do you have pets at home?
I used to. He passed away today.
Today?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Jocelyn.
Great question.
Oh,
great question, Dave.
How was I supposed to know that?
I don't know. Take the shoe out of your mouth.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, it's fine.
Well, shoot.
Shoot.
And so she wants to be a vet, see? She wants to help pets, help people.
He inspired me.
See, that's good.
Oh.
See, something good come out of it.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah.
So what are we doing for school right now at Triad High School? Are we remote learning? Are we in the classroom? What are we doing?
Both, hybrid.
Hybrid.
Yeah.
So a couple days a week you're going into school, and a couple days you're doing the remote learning. How's it going for you?
Pretty good. It was a really rocky start, let's just say that.
I think there was a transitionary period for teachers, for kids, and for parents. But I think after it takes all three a while to get acclimated. But then once you're used to it, I think kids are thriving, and I think some teachers have gotten the hang of it. So
yeah,
hang in there. It's a tough thing, I know, but I think the good students are maintaining, and they're finding a way to get it done.
Yeah, I had a really tough schedule, so it's just how it goes.
You got a tough schedule because you're a smart girl, though.
Well, I'm taking two math classes and then honors English, so it's kind of a big load.
Wow, how about that, Chrome?
Can't even imagine. I'm out.
Well. Jocelyn, thanks so much for coming in on this tough day for you, kiddo. And congrats on all the success. Sectional champion, conference champion, number one tennis player at the Mesby winning school for team of the year, Jocelyn Carmody.
Thank you.
How about Jocelyn Carmody? Impressive. Kid.
Impressive. Yeah. Yeah, I like all these kids. I'm amazed every week I leave here.
She is handling playing for her dad amazingly well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, those answers were coerced. They were pretty good. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think so.
I'm just kidding. I mean, listen, that is a tough thing. And anybody that's ever coached their son or daughter in anything will tell you that it's not easy. But I can't, to do it in what I, like, to me, I call coaching in high school, but like a real setting where, you know, you really have to be careful, right? And I just can't. You know, hats off to everybody that does it, because it's not as easy. And people think, oh, well, you do it, so that's not the case.
Let's talk about Logan. Is he working out at next level right now? these days.
Yeah, he was there with EJ. EJ stopped by today because he and I had some business to do for the Gators because he is training all of our Gator baseball players. And we were talking a little bit about Logan today because, you know, Logan will be back in the recruiting process in a year since he's at JUCO. And, you know, really how much he needs to do to get to where he needs to get to fulfill his dreams. So that's the best part of EJ is that, you know, he understands the why and the how. Then you just need the willing participant, which I think we all know sometimes Logan is not the most willing participant.
Well, I think he's a kid. I think all young people have their moments. But we are happy to continue our partnership with Next Level Sports Performance Institute. Next Level offers massage, sports medicine, nutrition counseling, sports performance training, and customized personal training, like the training that we were just talking about. EJ will listen to you and help your kid reach his or her goals, or he'll help you. If you're an adult and you're training, I know that there are adults who work out there, sports specifically, training for certain sports. There are NFL guys that are working out there right now. There are professional female volleyball players that are working out there right now. Give EJ Jones and his staff a call today, 307-4567. To begin training like a pro today, or check them out online at nxtlevelnation.com. And my kid's going to be out there in about a week or so. He's still recovering from his hip surgery.
Every week when you do this read, it reminds me that I need to call EJ after the show and go, hey, what about these massages? Because I haven't gotten one yet. So
you want a massage?
Who doesn't want a massage?
Third guest of the day, O'Fallon Boys Golf Coach, 3A Mespe Team of the Year, Matt Hackman.
How's it going?
Good to see you, Coach.
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me up here.
Congrats on a great year.
Appreciate it.
You guys were good, and you've been good every year, it seems like, for a while.
We've been really good for the last couple of years. We've been very fortunate to have a couple of horses leading the way, and that always helps, especially at the 3A level when you're competing against the best teams in Illinois.
The best teams in Illinois, you said it right, because right now in our area, there are some really great individuals and some really outstanding teams. I think better than ever. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. It's getting more. Golf is becoming more and more popular every single year. And as you get that, you get these youth programs that are just developing and developing. You're going to get these kids that are going to come to high school, and they're going to create some really good teams out of it.
And you've got some good golf pros in the area, and we've got some great golf coaches. And we've got facilities now. It seems like there are a lot of places for kids to get turned on by the sport. Talk about some of the places in your area where kids are learning the game.
Yeah, we have several great teachers in the area. We got Doug Schulte at Baxman Golf in Fairview Heights. We have Dan Politis. We've just started getting more and more simulators. There's a simulator league at the Orchards that I know that youth are heavily involved in. We just put in a simulator at the high school at the Milburn campus. So, I mean, there's plenty of outlets now to get out and practice. And I think more and more kids are starting to play. More and more kids are starting to watch, especially with the talent coming into the tour. And it's awesome to see because I'm the coach at O'Fallon.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is one of my favorite sports. So,
and you want kids to get involved with the sport. And I think COVID has hurt a lot of sports, but COVID has helped a few sports. And I think golf may be one of the sports where parents are looking at it and saying, you know what? I'm not sure what's going to happen after this, but golf is a good choice for my kid. It's safe. It's more accessible now than it was. And I think kids are having fun playing it. And junior team golf, I think, is a huge thing for the future of the sport.
Right. And obviously you guys know Mike Suri, but he's done a great job with Gateway PGA and getting kids involved with that. And as you mentioned, the whole COVID factor, courses shut down for about 1 or 2 weeks, and then they're like, hey, you know what, we can do this. So kids started going out to these courses, and it was also the only thing, like, I know I was dying to watch something on TV that was competitive. And every weekend, there was, as soon as June started up, PGA Tour came back, and that was the only thing on for a while. So you had a full month and a half of PGA Tour being really the only big sport in the United States out there that kids could watch.
We had Chris Eddy on here last week. Fantastic coach.
Yeah.
Also a Mespe winner for your girls team. How much do you work with Chris, or do you work with Chris at all in coaching the two teams?
Oh yeah. I call Chris about a lot of stuff. I mean, he's one of the best in the business. He knows a lot. He knows the ins and outs of the sport. He knows the ins and outs of IHSA and the things like that. But Chris is, he's fantastic to work with. He's fantastic to talk to. And me and Chris talk almost every day about just about anything.
Do you go battle it out on the course ever? Mono on mono?
Yeah. I mean, he'll beat me every time. 100%.
He's pretty good.
He's unbelievable. He could put his clubs away for a year and a half and come out and still just look like he's been playing every single day.
Yeah, he's a good player. I think Dave thought maybe I was blowing a little smoke at him, but
no.
he's a good player.
He's very talented.
Yeah.
Very talented.
He's really good. I think it's an interesting thing when schools are having success in a sport, both male and female. I mean, is that a push? Is that a good thing? Do they know what's going on?
Yeah, 100%. And we even started that whole co-ed tournament. I don't know if Chris had talked about that at all, but I mean, that's really
talk about it.
You have six guys, six girls. They each pair up. And you're competing. There's like six or seven schools in this area that do it. So it's a two-man scramble.
That's awesome.
One girl, one boy, like the ones kind of pair up. And me and Chris talk about who we want to pair who up with who, and it works.
What
out
a
great.
Cool concept.
It is
awesome.
Very cool. And the girls are chirping at the guys, and the guys are chirping at the girls about who's took more shots or things like that. And I mean, it's great. It's so fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different than going out in your regular tournament where you're counting your own scores.
Sure.
It's very relaxing. I mean, the kids play better.
Huh. And we can't do that in tennis because they're in different seasons. But in golf, everybody's in the fall, so that worked out well for you.
Yeah, it does work out
where
well.
Did you play it?
We played it at Tamarack this year. Last year, we were on base at Cardinal. That was fun. So we try to switch off every year at a different course. I think it's us, Collinsville, Highland, Belleville West, Belleville East, and there's one other, Columbia. So
shocks me Edwardsville's not in on that.
Maybe somewhere else that weekend, who knows? I mean, scheduling is a tough thing.
It's hard to golf because we do 90% of it. I mean, when I first got into this, I talked to Chris and he's like, hey, talk to Tyler Adam about, you know, what he does with his schedule, because obviously you want these kids in very competitive tournaments almost every weekend. You have to, because you're only going 6 weeks. I mean, this isn't basketball or baseball where it's drawn out, I mean, over several months. So it's great. And it's even more interesting because in Missouri, girls golf is in the fall, boys golf is in the spring. So Chris actually can go over to Missouri and play tournaments, whereas we can't. So because there's boys golf is in the spring. So it's different.
Wow.
And did you say you're coaching something else too right now?
I coach sophomore basketball.
Okay.
And I've coached baseball as well.
And let's talk about your background.
One or the other.
What's your background?
I went to Metro East Lutheran, actually here. I played basketball and golf, both at the varsity level. I played golf at the varsity level for 4 years, and then I played basketball for 2 years at the varsity level. So.
How about that? You're coaching everything. And we've had Todd Moeller on the show, and he's an enthusiastic guy.
Yeah, Todd's
and
great.
Is his enthusiasm infectious throughout the school, throughout the teams, throughout the athletic department?
Yeah, it is. He always brings that positive vibe. He's always reaching out, seeing how you're doing, seeing what he can do to help. So it spreads.
That's cool.
Especially in a year like this.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, well, what's next, you know?
Yeah. So. Their work's never done, changing goalposts, I call
no.
it, because, you know, they can't get a schedule going. But no, it's interesting to me because, like, I've always tried to figure that out, like the whole dynamic with the girls and the boys,
mm-hmm.
and some of them being in the different seasons, especially in the summer. Like, doesn't make any sense to
no,
me.
No, I wish it was universal across the board in the United States, but you know,
are there parameters on what you can and can't do? Like, I know you guys like to take them to some competitive stuff, but if the money's there from the boosters, obviously,
yeah.
Can you kind of do what you want with them?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, obviously, if we're going far away, say. More than like we have to get on an airplane, we obviously got to get approval
sure.
for that.
Yeah,
I mean, there are tournaments that high school teams do that, so but for the most part, we pretty much have free reign to get into every tournament that we want to in this area. I mean, as long as Todd's okay with it, and most of the time he is.
I mean, I've always thought too, to me, and we've mentioned it on here before, the whole, you know, if you want to, you know, you play your way in. Like, you guys do that, you know, like, hey, whatever day it is, hey, we're going to go out and play nine holes a day and top. That's got to be one of the funnest days of the week.
Yeah, it is. And it's the best part about golf, because guess what? If a kid's not playing, you know, it's easy. You just look at the scores. Are there times where that's not the case? Yeah, 100%. But you know, you start off with your tryouts and you have a good idea of who your top six, top eight are gonna be. But then as you go on, you're gonna have your guys at the top, your 1, 2, 3, 4s, but then there's always going to be those interchangeable parts of 5, 6, 7, 8 where you're like, hey, you guys are qualifying today. And that's, I mean, you keep that competitive nature going throughout the whole season, and it's huge.
Equivalent of challenge matches. And then I can see where a kid has been solid all year and then he struggles on that one qualifying day and then is left out of the lineup. How do you handle that? How do you tell a kid, hey, I know you've been there all year, but you didn't play. You've lost some confidence, and you need to take this weekend off.
Right, and that conversation has been had many times. And the best part is we have a very young team, so there's been several times where my kind of 5 or 6 has fallen into that 7 or 8, and I'll have them go play a JV match or two, and that works really well sometimes. And sometimes there needs to be another step out of that where there's a conversation. Or I like taking the kids out on the course a lot. And just working on things and just having conversations. And I feel like that's the best part about golf is the relationships you develop, because you have your group of like 7 or 8 and you're just constantly working with them, and it's very individualized at times, and you get to know the kids really well, and they're a lot of fun.
Do you have an assistant coach?
Yeah, I do. Dave Stossberg, and he does a great job with the JV program.
And how many kids came out for boys golf this year at O'Fallon High School?
We had 24 come out.
Did you cut anybody?
No, I didn't. I did not cut it. I wasn't going to cut it. Me and him talked. And I was like, the way things are going, we started off the year remote. I'm like, the last thing I'm going to do is have a kid that's coming out here wanting to get awesome. Out and do something. The last thing I'm going to do is cut this kid. Awesome. I mean, we're going to work with every single one of these kids this year.
Good for you. Did you have any kids who came out cold with practically no golf experience?
Oh, yeah. It happens. And the funniest part is those kids, I've had 4 or 5 of them. They work so hard because one, they see what these other kids have done and how much better they've gotten, and they just work their butts off at it. And the best thing is, like, Chris could tell you this as well. He's had kids that have never, girls that have never picked up a club before that tried out for, I think volleyball is also in the fall, right? Tried out for volleyball, got cut, and he's like, come over, play golf. One time, I think he had a girl get a college scholarship after that occurred.
Golf is a sport. Like, you can get ate up with it real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Like in that setting, like, you know, I'm going to go play golf. And then, I mean, it's like, it's addictive. Like, I'm going to do this every day. Yeah. And it is something that if you really work at it, you can get better quick. Yeah. Now, there's a whole nother level after you get better to, like, getting good. There's two different things there. Better and good are two totally different things. But I just, that's what I've always liked about it. I've always felt like it's something that, if somebody really wants to do it, they can do it. You can play golf.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, I hate to say this, but it's not like other things where it can almost get a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
Not golf. If you can play, you can play.
Right.
You know, like I said, doesn't mean you're going to be the one or the two or three. But I think most kids just want to be able to play. Like, I've told Dave this. I'd love to play tennis, but I want to play the right way.
Yeah.
And I don't think I physically can.
Yeah.
But even then, like, I don't want to just bounce the ball in that. Man, I want to serve it, and I want to rush to the net. Same thing with golf, man. I wanna hit shots, and I wanna get up and down, and I wanna hit the greens regularly. It's stuff like that. Those are the little challenges that I think they can get to, as opposed to let's go all the way and be the number one. I mean, that's probably not realistic, right? But the others are they're in reach.
Yeah. And I even have, like, that's a great point. I even have seniors that come out and are like, hey, you know, I've never really played much before, and like we have extra spots here and there that they can just come out and work on things. I'm like, hey, I can't promise you tournaments, but I said, golf is a sport that you could play for the rest of your life. I said, you go out to a 4-man scramble and it'll be some of the funnest days you'll ever have.
And don't forget the business aspects of it. I tell every kid who goes into any type of business, you have to be able to play golf at a level where you're comfortable going out in the business social, in the scramble. You don't have to be good. No one's going to care if you're crushing it, but at least be comfortable enough to go out, because there is so much business that's done on a golf course.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I had a kid that I was really close with, growing up through high school, and he got into business, and he's like, you need to teach me how to play golf. He's like, you have to, because these, all my coworkers are like, let's go play golf. And I'm like, well, I don't even have a set of clubs. Yeah. I'm like, I'll take you out. So.
Well, at one point, the average age that Americans were trying golf was like 28. I think that number is going down.
Well, there's an effect to it too. Like Tiger Woods had a huge effect on golf and bringing people to the game. I was asking Dave if he noticed it. Did you see him and his son together this weekend?
Yes, I was just about to mention
that. I am telling you, there will be a surge.
Oh.
Watching that little dude play golf was amazing. Yeah.
And the swagger and just beard confidence that he had.
So you watched it.
Course.
Oh, I got to ask you this. Honestly, when I got into golf, man, Tiger, it was an amazing thing what Tiger was doing. Okay? So I watched that this weekend. I watched a lot of it on Saturday. I watched it off and on a little bit on Sunday because I was busy, but I really didn't even watch Tiger.
No.
I really was just wanting to watch. I didn't care what Tiger did. I was watching his son. That was amazing to me. And I'm telling you, that's the type of thing. You know, like in the St. Louis area, like when the Blues won the Cup, like the signups for hockey were astronomical. You can always go back to the 1980 Olympic team and the surge in hockey in the United States. Brett Hull and St. Louis, like, I'm telling you, Tiger Woods and golf, his son, if they do some fun stuff like this, you watch the surge it comes back for. And they need it. The golf courses need it. So that's good.
Right. And I mean, you watch him this weekend. He will be there in 5-6. I was talking to my brother. I was like, when does he play in a PGA Tour event? He's like 17.
It was amazing.
He was that good and that impressive.
Hey, did you see him hit the ball? The drive. And I mean, he hits it.
Oh.
And he just picks his tee up, turns around, looks, and the ball hasn't even hit the ground yet. He's already turned around at his dad.
How old is the kid?
11.
They did it. They did a video comparison. I saw it on Twitter today.
Yeah,
The reactions that Tiger had when he was going through the tour when he first started, and the reactions that Charlie had this weekend. I mean, it was just exactly.
He hit a drive and turned around, never even looked at it. Hit it and turned around, looked, because his dad was way back, so they had him hit first. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he turned around and thumbs up. Tiger just started walking, never even teed it up. Because the kid hit it so far from where he was at, because he was getting to play so far up. It was hysterical. It was like, people are like, the ball hasn't even landed yet.
And I would pay to watch the kid play Charles Barkley.
Oh, he'd beat him.
Oh, I'm sure.
He'd beat him.
I'm sure. I still can't believe how terrible Barkley's swing is.
For a guy that plays every day. See, maybe I lied earlier.
Does he play every day?
Oh, he plays all the time.
He did it.
He loves it. He's become one of those that's like obsessed with becoming.
How can he be that awful?
Hank Haney tried to teach him, right?
Some of them are just, they just can't.
Wasn't he on the Hank Haney project?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And he still couldn't.
I don't think he's trying.
That hesitation makes me. I mean, I just want to.
It's horrible.
Yeah, but he's great.
It's like he can't fix it. It's like he's got something in his back.
There's like a mental thing.
Not allowing him to fully rotate.
He's great, though.
I don't know. I
could listen to him.
He's getting a lot of pub out of having the worst swing in the history of the world, in my opinion.
Yeah, but he's got some great opinions.
Are you teaching at O'Fallon High School?
Yes. I teach seniors. I teach Algebra 2 and cooperative education at the special ed level.
Awesome. You know who else did that? Mike Waldo.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did the same thing. Yeah. Did you work with Mike at all?
I didn't. No. So
that's a tough job.
I didn't know he did that.
Good for you. It's an important job too. Well, congrats on the success. And before you get out of here, I want you to talk about your top golfer from this year. Our Mespy winner, who I want to have on the show eventually.
Yeah, let's hope we can get him on.
Yeah, we're gonna have Caden on the show. But talk about coaching Caden Cannon in the year he had this year.
Caden is he is so talented. With this sport, I mean, he hits the ball 350 off the tee. He can hit a 2-iron 240 or a 3-iron 240. I mean, right down the middle every single time. I don't know why. Sometimes I want to take the driver out of his bag, but he has that mindset where when he gets going, I mean, he is absolutely unstoppable. And he had a 2-week, like it was like a 10-day kind of hiatus from golf this year. He had a very rigorous summer where he was going Chicago, Kentucky, Indiana, Kansas, Kansas City, Columbia, Missouri, almost every single week. And because with COVID and everything, golf tournaments were still happening and they were very competitive, and college coaches are still looking at your scores. So he's going out there. The summer for golf is huge. You got summer and you got the state tournament. Those are the two biggest events. Obviously summer's long, but I mean, those are the two biggest things where college coaches are really watching you. And so he wanted to get out and have a have a great summer. And I mean, he did, and he turned a lot of heads, and we had a lot of conversations with the college coaches, and I know they're continuing to talk to him, and they're talking to me as well, and we're trying to get him to the right spot. So we know he's going to play in college, and I know he's talented enough to be one of the best players in the state, without a doubt. I mean, he's that good. You watch him hit the golf ball, and he's got that. Some kids are good, and you watch him hit a golf ball, and they don't have that it factor.
Yeah.
Caden hits a golf ball, and like me and his dad have talked at times, like when he's on the range, like you go to just like Stonewall, Far Oaks, like a public range. I mean, he's one of those kids that's hitting the ball, and people are stepping back.
It's
like
got that
just
sound.
Watching him.
That
yes,
sound?
It's got that
so
sound.
So you saw a little John Daly.
Yeah.
The sound that
oh
his.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is, they talked about that. It's
different.
It's
like baseball.
Yep.
I mean,
you're right. Yeah. Ball comes out of a kid's hand different, or the way it comes off his bat, or the way that. Yeah, you're right. I think the it factor is a great way to describe that. I mean, it's an amazing.
And what year will he be next year?
He'll be a senior. And he's very young also for his age, or for his
grade
in school. He won't be 18 until 2022. So,
wow. But he wasn't the only good golfer on your team. You had multiple solid finishers week in, week out. Was it even a challenge for you at times to keep everybody involved?
Yeah, it was, because we had three really good freshmen and three really good sophomores come out. And then you had Caden and you had two seniors. So you had nine kids that we rotated. And what really helped this year, we knew we weren't having a state tournament. So we kind of talked, and I was getting the freshmen and sophomores as much time as I could in these tournaments, and just getting them experience in these competitive tournaments, and it helped. I mean, Caden was always locked in at that number one spot, and he was always leading the way for us, but it helps to have really good golfers behind. And I think next year we could have a great year, and I know us and Edwardsville and even East has some really good players. I mean, Edwardsville is going to be very good next year and years to come. So,
does it help, Caden, that there are multiple good golfers on the team?
Yeah,
that
and there's a couple. Yeah, and there's like on the team, yes, and in the area, there's a couple kids that he plays against. Almost seems like he gets paired up with them almost every single tournament, and he knows his kids really well, and I know how bad he wants to beat some of them, and 99% of the time he does, and he goes out and does his thing.
Well, you had a fantastic year, second at regional, fifth place at sectionals, and it was tough. It was a tough choice for 3A golf team of the year, because you had a good rivalry this year and most years with Edwardsville High School. Has that rivalry made your team better?
I mean, O'Fallon always knows that Edwardsville is going to be very good, and that no matter what, how young they are, no matter how experienced they are, no matter how talented they are, that they're going to come out and they're going to put up good scores. That's just how they've always been. Even when I was playing at Metro, I mean, we always knew how good Edwardsville was, and Adam does a great job with them. And even going into conference, I mean, that second day we were down two strokes to them, but I mean, we didn't come out and do what we needed to do, and I knew that they were going to. I mean, so you just got to get the job done. You know, going in, every time you go against them, that it's going to be tough.
Two great teams. Seemed like you guys were at each other all year long. But I hear a lot of respect from both coach, from you and also from Adam Tyler when he talks about your team, and especially when he talked about Caden. He talked about what a great kid he is and what a great golfer he is.
Yeah.
So congrats to you on your team culture and all your success. And wish you the best moving forward.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys very much.
All guests receive a free drink at the O-Bar Cafe from the Blow It Out on Main studio. Big thanks to show guests Justin Mumford, Jocelyn Carmody, and Coach Matt Hackman. Thanks to partners Next Level Performance Institute, Pin Oak Agency Insurance and Risk Management, for our producers Brian Crock and Everett Hicks, and my co-host
Jim Cromer.
I'm Dave Light. Thanks for listening to the Metro East Sports Podcast, talking all things sports in the Metro East.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.